Whatever the country, capitalist or socialist, man was everywhere crushed by technology, made a stranger to his own work, imprisoned, forced into stupidity. The evil all arose around from the fact that he had increased his needs rather than limited them. As long as fresh needs continued to be created, so new frustrations would come into being. When had the decline begun? The day knowledge was preferred to wisdom and mere usefulness to beauty. Only a moral revolution, not a social or political revolution, only a moral revolution would lead man back to his lost truth. And this week's opening quote comes from Simone de Beauvoir. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Well, it's nice to be back, folks, and my apologies for not bringing you a show last week. But what a crazy world we live in, hey? I mean, just when you think the world can't get much crazier, it seems to bring you to a new level of craziness. As I said on the last show, it's a pretty crazy world we're living in. Can it get much crazier? And straight away, as soon as I release that show, we see the alleged suicide of Jeffrey Epstein in a maximum security prison that no one has been able to commit suicide in for the last 21 years. And there's this man suddenly is able to commit suicide right when he has the dirt on some of the most powerful people on earth. I mean, folks, if this was a movie we were watching, I would have left at that point. I would have walked out because it was just too predictable in the script. I mean, I don't know how they can expect anybody to believe this, but they seem to have sold it to a lot of people. I mean, God knows where Jeffrey Epstein is, whether he is really dead or whether he's just been moved to a secure facility. When you think about it, I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense to keep him alive because he does have so much dirt on people. But then we've got that ridiculous photo that we saw of him on the gurney, which, I mean, I don't even know why they would release a photograph like that. I think they just do this for us. I think they do this for the conspiracy world. They put out a photograph that is just so ridiculously false and so obviously false just to give us a little bit of food to keep the chit-chat going in the back rooms and hope nobody notices any bigger pictures here. But the picture of the man that was allegedly Epstein lying on the gurney was obviously photoshopped. I mean, unless this was a dwarf with a giant head, then it certainly was not Epstein. I mean, and how often do you ever see a photograph of a dead body anyway, folks? I mean, the media would never do that. The newspapers would never release a photograph of a body on a gurney like that. And I think they just do that to give us something to argue about in the back room and keep the conspiracy theories churning over. I mean, they want people to be arguing, of course, whether he's alive or whether he's dead. And people, of course, take a position, take a solid position. They'll make the claim and they'll argue with anybody who disagrees with them. And they like that. And we often see these sorts of plays in place, you know, just to provide a few more incomplete facts and just a few more unconfirmed details for people to argue about. They love us to argue over the details, so we're not looking at the bigger picture. And there certainly would be a much, much bigger picture with the events surrounding Jeffrey Epstein, a very mysterious character, Jeffrey Epstein. Nobody really knows how he got all his billions. There's no record of him ever having any major company or any major windfall or having rich parents or anything like that. He just seems to have kind of come out of the blue with all of this money and be running this huge pedophile trafficking ring. You know, it's very interesting as well. I mean, if you listen to reports, some of the reports from his cohort, his companion, his madam, whatever her role was, Ghislaine Maxwell, she had often reported that everything that happens on Jeffrey Epstein's island was videoed. So that could well be where Epstein got his billions from. He could well have been running brownstone operations for Mossad or the CIA or both, which would also explain why they suicided him and why he was quickly put out of the public eye like this. I mean, it may even lend a lot of credence to the people who are claiming that he's still alive, because if he was a high-level Mossad figure who was running brownstone operations, well, they could well keep him alive. But again, you've got to kind of wonder where their loyalties would lie with that, because he does have so much dirt on so many people, and now that he's been exposed, it's going to be far more beneficial to those involved if he was dead. But again, you just never know. there is certainly a lot of unanswered questions and most certainly an awful lot of theatrics around this case. And it's always the way. And of course, right on the heels of this, we've seen a shooting in Philadelphia. Very interesting the way this is unfolding. Reports of multiple shooters from within a building, and we're told it was a narcotics bust gone wrong, basically. And the initial reports were of multiple shooters, but as is always the way, this, of course, has now been reduced to a single shooter who is targeting police officers. And, of course, very conveniently for the powers that believe they be, the event happened to occur 1 month, precisely 1 month before Philadelphia hosts its first anarchist convention. Interesting thing, an interesting way to play it, of course, with the backlash they're getting for the gun reform they wish to roll out. Nobody's really keen on that. And no one seems to be reacting enough from just shooting civilians, so now they've upped the ante and they're shooting police officers. Of course, the media will have a field day with this. Oh my God, it is absolutely imperative that we disarm the people now that our country's finest are being shot, because they always refer to the police as the city's finest, you know, New York's finest or LA's finest, Philadelphia's finest. I mean, really, they're generally a bunch of brutal thugs. I mean, I'm sure there's some great people in there, but there's some pretty horrible people in there as well. So it really does seem like yet another play we're seeing unfold here. It's going to be interesting to see how the media plays it over the next couple of weeks. Takes a lot of the heat off Epstein, of course, as well. They have these multiple shootings in these theatres of war and all this sort of stuff. Ramp it up right now, cover up the fact that Epstein was apparently suicided, push that into the back corner. Don't want too many people focused on that for too long, want that one to disappear into the memory hole. So, yeah, everything always kind of leads where they want it to go. And so much of this is contrived and scripted, folks. Theatre for the masses, keep the people guessing, keep them preoccupied, and keep them squabbling, keep them arguing over details, and keep them looking at the right hand so they don't notice what the left hand is doing. Though that does seem to be falling apart a little bit for them now, very difficult to keep people's eyes away from the Epstein case when we see things like Prince Andrew being caught, filmed at Jeffrey Epstein's apartment some years after he was convicted of pedophile charges. Very hard for the palace to push this one to the side, because there's simply no explanation for Prince Andrew being at Jeffrey Epstein's apartment, other than the fact that they were still friends. He maintained his friendship and he knew exactly what Epstein was up to, and he was very likely participating in it himself. I mean, the British royal family has been up to their neck in human trafficking for years, and it seems like it's all about to come undone, folks. I think the British royal family is in for a bit of a roller coaster ride if people can maintain a little bit of focus on this. But they're trying to shift focus, as I said, folks. I mean, this cop shooting, these so-called alleged cop shootings in Philadelphia, are very much designed to do that, and very much designed to push this anti-gun narrative that the United States is attempting to roll out. But yeah, the targeting of police officers, it really does seem like they've just taken it to the next level of theatrics, really. Of course, none of the police officers that have been shot are dead. They've all been injured, we're told, and they're all in really good spirits. So it's interesting how that happens as well, isn't it? If a shooter opens fire against civilians, it's always people are killed. But if they open fire against the police, well, they're just injured and in good spirits. And in this case, I believe they were all even able to leave the hospital that day. Interesting. But no doubt we will see a huge outcry from the media regarding this. Oh my God, what are we going to do now that people are bold enough to actually shoot police officers? Well, obviously, something has to be done. So grab the popcorn, folks, because we are really going to see some theatrics riding on the back of this one. You know, they really need some sort of a reaction from the people over this. I mean, they're not really getting much of a reaction from the people over everything. I mean, if anyone really doubts the effectiveness of fluoride, really all you've got to do is look at that of our societies, folks. I mean, look at the state that we're in, and nobody really seems to notice and nobody really seems to care. I mean, they may say they do, but they don't ever do anything about it, you know. With all the corruption that we face, even with all of the exposing of criminality within government, I mean, in olden days, people would have picked up pitchforks and gone and thrown these people out of power by now. There would have been a revolution years ago. were it not for the fluoride in the water. So perhaps they're sort of seeing that they've over-fluoridated people, because people aren't even reacting to crazed gunmen going and killing multiple civilians. I mean, they do to a certain degree, but there's no real outcry over it. There's no real outcry over anything anymore, folks. This is something that I mentioned last week, you know, how much of the conspiracy movement and the truth movement even is presenting information to the public, and it's kind of softening the blow. It's kind of conditioning people to accept this type of corruption. But not too many people in the so-called truth movement, and not too many speakers are actually encouraging people to actually stand up for themselves and make noise about all this. Now, I would suggest the reason people don't, again, is because of the fluoridation and the medication that they're all under, the medication that comes even in the form of television, the trance state that most people are kept in from the television and from their computers and from their cell phones. People are just generally apathetic in the face of everything that's going on, and they just don't seem to want to react to things. You know, they're happy to read it in the newspapers and let someone else take care of it. Gee, that's terrible. Someone should fix it. And they go back to work. And that seems to be the attitude of most people. And this is what fluoride does, folks. You know, the world's gotten as corrupt as it has, and people don't do anything about it because of the chemically induced state of apathy that most people are in. Chemically induced apathy, and also through a shifting of priorities. You know, most people aren't really concerned with real goings on in the real world. They're just interested in what they look like or whether they're getting enough likes on Instagram or Snapchat. You know, everything has become very, very superficial. And as a result, people have become more and more narcissistic to the point that most people are only really concerned with things that affect them personally, whether they can gain from something or whether they cannot. Even when people are going into relationships with people or striking up friendships with people, very often it's, well, how can I gain from being friends with this person? What's in it for me? What sort of a social or economic ladder can I climb? What advantages will come to me by associating myself with this person? And it's even the same in many cases in relationships. You know, women are taught that they need to find a man who is a good provider, not someone that you love. I mean, if you like them, yeah, that's a bonus for sure, but it's not about love anymore. It's about whether this person can provide you with what you need to have the lifestyle that you want. And that's what a lot of relationships are based on. It isn't just women that do it. I mean, some men do it as well. And this sort of stuff breaks down relationships, and the government, of course, legislates everything they can to make sure that relationships are broken down, relationships don't last. The government has done everything it can, the government here in Australia has done everything it can to encourage the rise of predatory relationships on the part of the women. There are huge numbers of very predatory women in Australia now, because a man can work for 20, 30, 40, 50 years of his life and build up a good stake for himself. And if he gets into a relationship with a woman, that woman only has to live with him for 12 months. And then she can take half of everything he owns. And this doesn't mean that they have to get married or anything. It's simply cohabitation. All she has to do is move in with you and stay for 12 months, and that's it. If you have no prior cohabitation agreement in place, and she plays it the right way, she gets half of everything. So this discourages a lot of men who've worked very hard in their life from ever getting into a relationship with someone, simply because they know that in 12 months and 1 week, this person may well turn on them and simply take everything they own. And many women in Australia, it would appear, are actually entering into relationships with men simply based on how many possessions they have and what percentage of those possessions they can end up taking from them after the end of the first 12-month period. It's unfortunate, but that's what's happening, which is why you're seeing a lot of these, you know, men going their own way and all this sort of stuff, because it's the only defense men have got now against the type of predatory legislation that has been promoted by the Australian government and the family court. And probably not just here. I'd say we're seeing predatory legislation everywhere. Certainly seeing some predatory legislation coming into place in Hong Kong at the moment. The poor people in Hong Kong are being subject to an enormous amount of brutality and terrorism from the absolute criminal thugs masquerading as the police that the Chinese have sent over there to terrorize the people. The reports that are coming out of there are actually quite shocking, folks. We've got reports of Chinese police going out of uniform and getting amongst the crowd and, of course, being the ones to start the violence and then arresting people for violence. We've had police shooting paper bullets at people at close range within 1 meter of people. They've taken an eye out of a nurse, shot her through her safety glasses and shot her in the eye. They've been firing tear gas indoors, which is a breach of international law. It's against the law to fire tear gas within a building because of the damage you can do. And not only that, but they've been firing out-of-date tear gas into buildings. And out-of-date tear gas is banned worldwide because out-of-date tear gas can fast turn into cyanide gas. And as I said, they're firing this into buildings, which is a complete breach of international law, a complete abuse of human rights. And knowing the properties of out-of-date tear gas, one could question whether this is not intentional and premeditated attempted murder. They're using batons to brutally beat people, pushing people down escalators to cause stampedes. They've even allowed triads to go into the crowd and beat people up with baseball bats. The Chinese police are really, really going out of their way to terrorize the people of Hong Kong, and it would be great to see the people of Hong Kong rise up and throw these terrorists off their shores. And, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's a color revolution, whether it's been staged or whatever. The fact is that you've got police brutalizing and terrorizing their citizens, as we see in so many places around the world. Terrorist police officers acting like thugs. And this is what has to stop, folks. Whatever the problem is, whoever's staging the revolution, it's these idiots in uniform that is the problem. These order followers that continue to push the government line in whatever country you're in, it's the same. And that is what is not acceptable. And that is what needs to change. I mean, the actions of these police in Hong Kong is absolutely reprehensible, folks. This is some of the most brutal and worst criminal activity we've seen from any police force and any government. You know, this is what's actually happening in Hong Kong, and the Chinese government is just trying to play it as if they're actually doing the right thing and trying to contain violent protesters when they're not. It's the police who have started every single piece of violence you have seen on the ground in Hong Kong. I mean, I don't know, have you had enough of seeing this sort of stuff, folks? I've just had so much of seeing governments brutalize their people and seeing these fascist dickheads who think they have the right to rule people by brute force just carrying out this sort of atrocious actions against people, because the only real law is natural law and the only real law is moral law. And if people were in their moral compasses, none of this ridiculous rubbish would happen. None of it would be tolerated. You know, sometimes I wonder if they throw this stuff in our face so much just to see how much we will take before we stand up. You know, they just make it more and more brutal, and they make it more and more obvious, and they make the theater more and more of a B-grade movie. You know, it's like I said, with this whole Epstein suicide, this so-called suicide, I mean, if this was a movie, you'd leave. And they do it, and the media just puts it out there, and people go, oh, conspiracy theory, But they don't actually do anything. They don't actually stand up and do anything. They don't start writing letters to politicians. They don't start protesting in any way. They don't start demanding answers. They just go, oh, more corruption. Yes, yes, we knew it was corrupt. Like I said, you know, we just accept this stuff. We passively accept it. With what's happening in Hong Kong, people look at it and they go, oh, yeah, the military, they're going to send in the shredders soon. I warned you, these people are all going to get screwed. They're just going to get so stuffed. But then they sit back and they watch it. They eat popcorn. They just allow it all to happen. Oh, yeah, I told you so. They don't actually really see the significance of it and stand up and say something themselves and realize that if it's going to happen in Hong Kong, then it's very likely to happen in your country as well. And you think, oh no, it can never happen here. It will never happen here. Just the way the Bolsheviks thought it would never happen there. Just the way everybody always thinks it can't happen here. It'll never happen to me. Well, you know, this whole Chinese social crediting system is being rolled out worldwide, ladies and gentlemen. It's what the Internet of Things is. And they're just showing you overtly how they're going to deal with people in China. But it's coming everywhere. It's coming to every country because it's the same system. This whole world system is one system run by one organism. that organism which has branched itself out into lots of little microorganisms masquerading as governments in various nations, but ultimately it's one worldwide criminal cabal masquerading as government, one big crime family that is leading the world into this AI system that they want. And they're just showing you how brutal they're going to be and how little regard they're actually going to show for human beings within this system. They're showing you all now what's going on. They're showing you exactly what they're going to do. And people can see it coming, but still they just participate in it. Still they sit there, they'll talk about it, they'll get the next installment of the spy novel version of reality and see what's coming down the pike, but they won't stop participating in it. They won't just disconnect from it and stand up together and say no. You know, and that's what needs to happen. And if that doesn't happen, well, you know, I wonder what is the hope for this species? I mean, where are we going to end up? You know, this is probably why I don't have any stake in the outcome of all of this, because you can't have any stake in the outcome of this, folks, because if the human race doesn't wake up and this experiment fails, well, you know, you can't hold yourself in too much blame for that, and you can't really worry about it too much, because it's just going to be the way it is, you know. And what this life is really about, ultimately, is the experience that you gain for yourself, the emotional growth that you experience yourself, how you're able to deal with this trauma. And that's another possibility as well. I mean, perhaps it's getting more and more traumatic so that people have more and more to deal with because of the amount of spiritual growth that comes from dealing with that. And perhaps that's what's going to change things, when people reconcile themselves to exactly who and what they are. Maybe that's all it would need to change the world. I mean, I've said that many times, actually, that, you know, what we're really facing here is a loss of self. That's the reason all of this is happening. Perhaps what this is about, perhaps it's pushing mankind's back squarely against the wall and getting us in a position where we don't have any choice other than to stand up. You know, no other choice other than to discover our own personal power and to stand in that and to lose all fear of any stake in the outcome, because this whole life is such a short experience. It's just a breath. I mean, you're going to leave this realm eventually anyways, so why worry about when that happens? Why worry about the circumstances surrounding that event? Just realize it's about collecting the emotional information along the way, collecting the intellectual information along the way, gaining what you can find of wisdom along the way, and doing what you can with this experience, because that's really what it all comes down to. You know, all the stuff that happens to us, folks, it's what you do with that information that is important. You know, people get the information, they find out what's really going on in the world, but they don't really do anything. And that's an interesting thing when you look at it. You know, how much information do people want and what are they going to do with it? How much information do they need to collect and what are they doing with the information they're collecting? What does it mean to them? What are they even collecting it for? You know, because a lot of people are aware of this sort of thing going on. A lot of people are aware of a lot of the corruption we see in the world. A lot of people are aware of what's going on in Hong Kong. A lot of people are aware the governments are full of liars and people who contrive to do all these things, that a lot of the conspiracies are real. There's a lot of people that are aware of it. Even everyday people on the street you'll find don't trust their government. But by the same token, they just continue to allow it to occur. You know, no one picks up pitchforks and marches in the street. No one does anything that we would have done in the old days. And as I said earlier, if you really want to see the power of fluoride, all you've got to do really is look at the state of the world and look at people's failure to respond to the corruption that they see all around them, how everybody's just kind of okay with it all. You know, they know it's there, but they just think, oh, well, we know it's corrupt and we can't do anything about it, and they just continue to go to work. This is the power of fluoride, folks. You know, people just see it, but they don't think they can do anything about it. You know, many of them have a stake in the outcome, and they don't see it as a spiritual journey. They don't see it as an exercise in gaining intellectual and emotional information along the way and what you do with that information. And really, if they were to look at life that way, I think they'd find that they can apply themselves to this situation pretty easily, and they'd be able to get through it pretty easily as well. They wouldn't be in the state of stress that many people find themselves in simply by gaining this information. You know, it really does stress a lot of people out because they're not looking at it from the correct perspective. I mean, that's how come I can do all the stuff that I do and not get so frustrated about it, not get suicidal at some of the stuff that I look at. I mean, you know, if I was to really have a stake in the outcome of all of this stuff that I investigate and really have a stake in the outcome of what happens to mankind, I don't know whether I'd be able to maintain my composure through all of this, because some of it would be just completely overwhelming if I chose to have a stake in any of it. You know, it's like when you start researching some of the stuff, you know, when you really start getting into some dark areas of this stuff, I mean, you start really looking at the Epstein case, start looking at Pizzagate, start looking at some of the rampant pedophilia that's going on in the world, and you start entering a realm that is so dark that it kind of leaves a stain on your soul if you're not prepared for it. That's why a lot of people won't go down there. That's why I don't even present a lot of information about pedophilia and stuff on the radio shows, because the information is so dark and I don't wish to stain your soul as well as the stain that it leaves on mine. I mean, you've got to be very, very strong to look at some of this stuff, folks, because some of it is, you know, truly abhorrent. And no matter how bad you think it is, it's worse than what you think. That's the problem. You know, the further you go down the rabbit hole, the more shocked you become. And it gets to the point where the shocks that you receive are no longer shocking, because it's all so shocking and you just expect it to get worse and worse and worse as you go. And it does. That's the problem. You know, but it gets to the point, you know, you get so far and it just creates this blackness, this stain on your heart, this stain on your soul. And, you know, you get to a point where, okay, how much of it do you need to know? Do you really need to know all the sordid and gory details about all this stuff? We don't. All we need to know really is that it's happening. You know, if you really want to get into those sordid details, like I said, it stains you. It leaves a blackness on you that you find very difficult to scrub off with even the strongest sort of spiritual cleansing. And so that's why I would suggest a lot of people don't want to look down there. And that's why I don't really look at that information too much or present that information to you too much. A lot of people have asked me why I don't cover the global pedophile rings more on the air. And look, we know they're there, folks. And what I've just explained to you is the reason I don't cover it. We know they're there. We know it happens. We know this is the basis of the whole thing. We know it's completely prevalent through the entire system. We're aware of it. So let's look at ways of bringing this system down in order to stop that behavior. But we don't need to really look at the details of it. And trust me, it's not something that you really want to look at anyway. It's certainly not something that I would choose to look at all if I had a choice. But of course, in many ways, you need to. You know, people do need to at least become aware of it, even if they don't want to look at the details. And as I said, it's probably not beneficial for people to look at the details anyway, simply because of the blackness that stirs up inside you. And even I've found that some people who've researched into pedophilia will only go so far, and then they'll just get into this incredibly black area and they'll have to put the research down altogether and gain even a different focus in their lives. They don't even want to know about it anymore because it is so dark. And that's the problem. And that's the issue that people have, you know. It's a failure to process information that is instilled into many people because, you know, people cannot take the emotional journey that goes with it. They cannot take the emotional outpouring that comes with it, simply because most people have empathy. As I said, the psychopaths who run the world have no empathy, ladies and gentlemen. If they had empathy, they certainly wouldn't do the things they do. If people that ruled the world had empathy, we wouldn't be in the state we're in, folks. We wouldn't have all these wars. We wouldn't even have this money system. We wouldn't have any of this stuff in place if these people had empathy. Now, that should be a clue for everybody. You know, if you're looking at politicians and expecting some sort of a leader to come along within the political system, just look at how much these people continue to support this system and realize that pedophilia is the basis of the entire system. And then you don't really need to ask any further why you never see any change. It's unfortunate, folks, but that's simply the way the world is run. And that's why people do need to become aware of this very, very dark undertone to our political and legal system. In fact, the entire world system in all of its aspects. This is an undertone that connects it all together. And as dark as that may be to admit, it is simply a fact. But I think we've reached break time here, folks, so I'll leave it there. And now, rather a dark note to leave this first half of the show on, but I will leave it there for now, and we're going to have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company. And I'll be back to speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, so, you know, it's a very, very dark topic, the world pedophilia ring that is so prevalent on this earth. It really is. I mean, and like I said, it doesn't matter really what the details are. The details are as gory as you think they are. You know, and take it beyond that. Whatever you can imagine, take it to the next level. This is what they do to these kids. I mean, it's pretty disgraceful. But the power of pedophilia, the power of control that that gives you over people is the key to the whole thing. This is why they brownstone people. And brownstone, if you don't understand what a brownstone operation is, it's basically getting someone in a compromising position. You know, you'll get a politician or a powerful person, you'll wine them, you'll dine them, you'll get a couple of hookers, and then you'll video them with the hookers, and you'll make sure that the hookers are underage. And then you've got them. You've got them in your pocket, and they'll do anything for you, and they will be a loyal puppet for the rest of their lives because they simply don't want the bad publicity the exposure will bring them. And this is what they do to everybody, folks. So you get someone like Epstein, who has this island that he brings all sorts of powerful people onto the island and then videos all of them so that all of them are compromised. And, you know, you'll get judges and lawyers and heads of police department, heads of the education system, all the heads of all of the main organizations that control the flow of everything on this earth. You get these people and you compromise them. You get them on video with children so that you've got them all in your back pocket. And that's why nothing ever changes. That's why you can expose this sort of activity and bring it to public attention and nothing ever comes by it. The media just kind of spins it one way, spins it the other way. We hear about court cases pending and all sorts of stuff, but we never really hear much more about it. It just disappears into the memory hole and gets lost with all the other contrived melodramatic news that they put in your face. So people forget about it. And the reason this happens is because the heads of the media and the heads of the legal system, the judges, the lawyers, all of these people have been brownstoned. All of them have been compromised themselves. And that's why we never see anything come of it. You know, it's this huge, massive cover-up. You try to get it investigated, the police, you'll find the heads of the police department have been compromised. They've all been compromised, folks. And that is the power of these pedophilic organizations and these child trafficking organizations, and that's why they do it. And as I said, it just disappears into the memory hole and people forget about it. I mean, they might be outraged about it for a couple of weeks, but then they just sort of forget about it. It goes away. They start thinking about other things. Again, this is the power of fluoride, folks. This is what it does to people. You know, people should be absolutely outraged at the state of the world, absolutely outraged at the corruption of our politicians, absolutely outraged at the failure of the media to present any of this information to people. They should be absolutely outraged at what is being taught to their children through the education system. But again, they just complain about it and they think, oh, I can't do anything about it because someone wrote down on paper that this has to happen. It's outrageous, folks. The mind control that comes from people simply writing stuff down on paper and other people believing that that means that they have to do what it says on the paper. It's incredible that people will allow their children to be abused. They will allow all of this stuff to go on simply because someone wrote down on paper that they're not able to do anything about it. And people respect it and they just go along with it. This is the power of fluoride, folks. And you might think, well, no, hang on, people aren't allowing their children to be abused. Where are they writing this down on paper? Well, folks, go and look at the education system. Have a look at what they're teaching your kids. They're teaching gender confusion to children 5, 6 years old. Kids that are too young to even know what sex is, they're asking them to question their gender. This is child abuse. Even putting kids into school and making them go through these rigorous programs that they put them through, this is child abuse. I don't care if you want to call it education. It's not education. Education is learning about life, learning what it means to be a human being. It's not learning all the crap that they teach kids in school. It's programming. It's indoctrination. Now, children should be playing and learning who and what they are. Children shouldn't even have to go to school until they're like 8 or 10 years old. That would be far better for them. I mean, sure, you know, you can teach them the basic things of life, but they can learn all that from their parents and from their siblings, or at least through some sort of an education system which is complementary to human life. Not an education system that is designed to remove kids' humanity from them and train them to be good little cogs in the big machine. And very likely a screening process for identifying children that the pedophiles can use and manipulate and take and mold to their own means and their own desires. But again, we don't get anywhere even trying to investigate this stuff or bring it to public light because everybody is compromised. That's why it's no good even voting for political parties, because if someone gets to be a leader of a political party, they've already been compromised. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been given that position. That's why it never changes. And we've got a one-party system that looks like a two-party system. It's just a different face on the coin every couple of years, a couple of different policies here and there, so people think it's actually a different group of people. But ultimately, it all leads to the same direction, and they're all compromised anyway. You could go and report this pedophilia activity to anybody, any politician, and you'll find you won't get anywhere because all of them are compromised. Otherwise, they wouldn't have the position that they've got to begin with. And when you can begin to truly comprehend just how prevalent this worldwide pedophile ring really is, you begin to see why we never get anywhere, why nothing ever changes, why no matter what political party you vote in, nothing ever changes. And why you can't even report it to people or get it investigated, because it'll only get investigated so far. It'll get high enough up the food chain that it reaches one of the pedophiles, and then that pedophile will stop the investigation because he's in a position to do so. That's why they compromise all these people in high positions. You know, you begin to see that the only way to really deal with this system is through non-compliance, folks. It's through us disconnecting from it, us identifying the fact that it's real, and becoming a little outraged about it. Before we end up in a situation like we're seeing in Hong Kong now. Because that's where we're going. Simply because people won't be outraged. People want to keep their heads down and think that it's all going to go away. But it's not going to go away. It's getting more and more prevalent as the years go by. As the months go by now. And it's happening now because the wheels are falling off so badly. I mean, they've really blown it this year, folks. I mean, what happened in Christchurch? They just blew it with Christchurch so badly. And now what they've done with Epstein, I mean, Epstein getting arrested like this and coming to public prominence so profoundly the way he did, I mean, this really could have brought down so many people. And you can tell how scared they are and how many people it could have brought down just by the fact that they suicided him. I mean, how outrageous is the fact that they suicided him in this prison? I mean, there's been one suicide in this prison in 40 years, and there hasn't been a suicide in this prison for the last 21 years. And this is where they did it. This is where they chose to actually present the notion that this man committed suicide, in a jail where it's impossible to commit suicide. They felt so threatened by this man and so intimidated by what he may have revealed, and they were so scared that they just had to act immediately to get rid of him as quickly as possible. They didn't even have the nous or the foresight to move him to another prison where it would have been possible for him to have committed suicide. They literally went in there and murdered him. Yeah, and folks, there's so many people talking about it. Yeah, even RT, even mainstream news sources, even President Trump tweeted saying that this is suspicious. And it was interesting. It was an interesting move by Trump to retweet that conspiracy theory that perhaps the Clintons were involved or whatever it was about. I mean, kind of a good chess move for him, really, because he, of course, is implicated as being one of Epstein's friends. Well, he says it was a long time ago, but still he's implicated, so that's kind of a good way for him to distance himself by, and again, throw the truth community a bone. He loves to do that. But kind of a good way to also make it a political move and try to shift blame onto the Democrats, of course. People say, oh yeah, Trump's supporting conspiracy theories. Well, you know, not all conspiracies are theories, folks. People do plan things and they do carry out these things, you know. Saying that there are no conspiracies is just completely ridiculous because, you know, conspiracies are real. There's a conspiracy department in the police department, for God's sake. You know, criminal investigation into conspiracies. Why do they have a conspiracy department if there's no such thing as a conspiracy? But just the fact that they would do this, just the fact that they would think they could get away with literally murdering this guy and claiming suicide when he's in the prison that he was in, shows just how scared they are, how compromised they were by the information this man had in his head. And it shows how much they're stumbling and how much they're prepared to just go hell for leather. They don't really care anymore whether they expose themselves because, I mean, they've done so by murdering this guy in prison and claiming it's suicide. Nobody's buying it. Not even your mainstream people in anywhere is. I don't know anybody who's actually buying into the story that Epstein took his own life. People that are not even conspiratorially minded people don't even buy into the concept that this guy took his own life. I mean, it's just blatantly obvious to everybody that either Jeffrey Epstein has been spirited away and taken to a secret location never to show his face again, or Jeffrey Epstein was murdered. And just the fact they would do that in this jail, folks, it shows just how desperate these people are and how much the wheels are truly falling off the system. But even saying that, I mean, that's no reason to fall into a state of complacency and think, well, it's a done deal and they're all going to be exposed and all go down. We've got to maintain our stance and continue doing what we do. But the thing is that they're revealing their hand by their actions. And, you know, if we can keep the pressure up, I think we can really start exposing things. I think we can wake up a lot of the mainstream sleeping sheeple to the fact that the world is not what they think it is. Now, it's actually very different to what they think it is. Everything is different to what they think it is. And that this whole worldwide political system is simply a front for a worldwide organization of racketeering, a worldwide criminal cabal masquerading as government, which is playing all the people off against each other. Keeping people busy with wars and contrived conflicts and taxation and all of this superficial stuff, all the social parameters that they give you, so you won't notice what they're doing, which is running off to these strange places with stolen children. Very often that's what they're doing. And that's a really main part of it, folks, the pedophilia. It is so rampant. And it really is the glue that holds it all together because it is that secret bond that all of these organizations have. You know, it may be an organization, a mining company, or a political organization, or a medical organization, a vaccination organization, or a construction company, or whatever, and they won't have anything to do with each other, but the heads of all of those companies will have a common bond through this worldwide network of pedophiles and by the fact that all of them are compromised. And that's why, as I said, it doesn't matter how much you try to investigate this stuff, you only ever get so far, and then you hit a brick wall. And it's generally that way, I mean, not just with pedophilia, but with whatever you're investigating. You might be investigating some sort of environmental catastrophe, some sort of abuse of power by a mining company, some corruption within the education system, or vaccine damage, or whatever. It doesn't matter what you investigate. You'll only be able to take it so far, and then you'll get to a certain point where one of the people that you have to go through is a pedophile, and that person will close the investigation down, or tie you up in red tape, or make it too expensive, or too difficult, or whatever, because they do not wish to be exposed for whatever it is that they're involved in, which will include pedophilia. Like I said, folks, it's this secret bond that people at the head of major corporate entities all have between each other. You know, and they have their symbols and they have just ways of recognizing each other. You know, and we look at this and we think, well, why would they do things so blatantly? Why would they think they could even get away with murdering Epstein in a cell and calling it suicide and thinking anyone would go along with it? The thing is, folks, they're psychopaths. These people are psychopaths. They don't think the way we think. That's why you can never really come to terms of what they do and never fully comprehend their motives in what they do until you're prepared to think the way they think. Because you'll never understand it if you are attaching normal parameters and normal intellect and thinking, well, these aren't things that normal people do. That's the problem. They're not normal people. You know, and you may be someone who thinks, well, you know, human beings aren't capable of carrying out this type of cruelty against each other because it's something you could never do. But really, you have to think beyond that and you have to reverse your morality in order to comprehend the way these people think and the way these people operate. And you have to be prepared to think right outside the box and get human emotion and human empathy completely out of the equation. These people have no empathy at all for the atrocities that they perform. They simply do it for their own personal pleasure. and their own personal gratification. You know, the world is their oyster because they are in a position, they've maneuvered themselves into a position where that's just the way it is, and they all watch each other's backs. And as I said, even if you attempt to investigate it, you only really get so far up the food chain. You know, I know people who work in child services here in Australia who are good people, who work in child services because they want to help abused children. And they know that there are pedophile rings operating at the top of the circle, and they can only ever get so far with the help they can give to children. But they can't ever push it any further. And if they attempt to expose the corruption at the top of the food chain, even within the organizations that they work within, then they will end up losing their jobs, and they will not be in a position where they can actually help some of the children along the way and perhaps steer them away from what the heads of these corrective services are actually doing. You know, so there are people that work within these organizations who are doing so, who are aware of what's going on, but maintain their jobs simply so they can make a difference within that organization, knowing full well that it would be great to expose it, but should they do so, they're just not going to be in a position to help any other kids, and other children may suffer due to them exposing the root core and the root objectives of these organizations. So that's a very compromising position for people to be in as well. You know, you think about the moral obligation these people have and the moral conflict they must go through, knowing what they know and wanting to expose it, but knowing that if they do so, it won't make any difference. All it will do will be to remove them from any position where they're able to make a difference and able to possibly help people. Very, very spiritually and emotionally challenging work that a lot of these people do. And even looking at that, you know, people who are investigating all of this sort of stuff have got to understand what we're dealing with and have got to understand what some of the people working within these organizations have to go through in order to maintain their positions and in order to maintain themselves into a situation where they can possibly make a difference. The thing is, you know, how much difference can they make? You know, a little bit of difference, a little soul saved here and there, one child here and there that's led to safety. But overall, it's a very, very, as I said, spiritually and emotionally challenging position to be in. It's almost like a soul test that people are put through. And what if that's a lot of what all this is about as well? I mean, earlier on I said perhaps, you know, things are getting so far in our face because it is kind of a spiritual test. It is some sort of a test for us. But what if it's a test of strength, a test of simple morality? You know, we know this stuff exists. We know the world is corrupt. We know our governments do not serve us. We know that all these wars are contrived. We know that the world is run by criminals. And perhaps all we have to do is simply stand up and say that. Simply stand up and lead by example in what we do. Be a shining light. Be a wonderful, wonderful person to be around. Help everybody that you can. And always question authority when that authority requires you to step outside your moral compass. Perhaps that's what all of this is about. You know, you can even question whether this is a place that human consciousness comes, where people come to grow their souls, whether it's a soul test, whether this is the exam before you actually start life. Maybe it's a prelude to what really happens after. And maybe that's why we see evil in our face at every turn, because with that evil in our face, it provides us the opportunity to make a choice as to whether we will support that evil or we will simply stand in who and what we are and shine our light and choose to support that which is not evil. Perhaps it's that. I wonder how many people actually think about this sort of stuff when they see these sorts of atrocities and they turn the other cheek and think, well, you know, I can't say anything. I'll just forget that it's happening, not part of my reality. You know, where attention goes, energy flows. I'm empowering it by looking at it, but perhaps it's the other way around. Perhaps you're empowering it by not looking at it. Perhaps you're empowering it by being scared to confront it, being scared to mention it to other people. Perhaps that's what all this is about, you know. It's an interesting question, but I think that there is a philosophical and spiritual and perhaps a soul connection to all of this, and there's an overview that you can adopt and look at things from a completely different perspective if you're prepared to do so. And that's what I've been encouraging people to do for so many years, you know. I think all of this provides opportunity for spiritual growth, for human growth. It all provides an opportunity for us to stand up and say no and to take the world in a different direction. If only people were prepared to do so, and if only people were prepared to face it. Perhaps that's what this Epstein thing will do. Perhaps this will bring it into the face of the sheeple, and they'll just see it for what it is. Like I said, a lot of people who are not even conspiratorially minded are really questioning this whole Epstein thing. So perhaps this is an enormous opportunity for us if we look at it from the right angle and view it through the right eyes, and we approach it and present it to people from the right angle as well, not making claims on it. Too many people say, oh, this man's alive, he's been spirited away, confirmed that he's alive. Well, it's not confirmed that he's alive. It's not confirmed that he's dead either. None of it is confirmed. Anything is possible. That's the thing. We've got to be careful of these polarized positions we adopt, because that's what they want us to do. They want us to look at all this stuff, adopt a polarized position, and argue about the details with everybody else. As I said, I think that's why they put that picture out of that giant head on the gurney, because this is no way this was a real picture. I think they did that just for us, just so we'd argue about things. It makes perfect sense for them to do so. I mean, you've really got to look at what the play is, and it's been done so many times, folks, but, you know, just the fact that they even do that, I mean, it shows how scared they are. They've got to muddy the waters as much as possible, put out as much theatre and drama, ramp up the conflict all around the world, keep people distracted with as many theatres as possible, simply so this disappears into the memory hole. But we can't let it happen. We've really got to keep some focus on this and seize the opportunities that this year has been providing for us. Like I said, folks, they've really blown it this year. They've messed themselves up so badly in so many ways. And if we can get some focus, I think we can make a difference. We really can. You know, for all the trials and tribulations and all the stuff we face, I still have an enormous amount of faith in this species. I have an enormous amount of faith in human consciousness. An enormous amount of faith in our ability to really be able to turn this around and get back to what we once were. You know, I know a lot's been taken from us. If you really start looking at history, start looking at Tartaria, even the loss of our true languages, the compromising of knowledge, the hiding of knowledge, the hiding of our history, we've got so much to deal with. But even taking it all into account, I don't think all is lost at all. You know, it could be as simple as a change of diet, folks. Get all the stuff out of our diet which is causing our pineal gland to stay calcified. And get back to what it means to be human. Get back in touch with the earth. Get back in touch with real food and get away from technology. I think we'd find ourselves to be pretty human again pretty quickly. It's just being prepared to take that step. You know, think of the film The Green Beautiful, where they had that moment where they all threw their televisions and all their technology and everything out of the window and they all smashed it in the street and they all suddenly became normal again. It was a little bit of a transitionary period, but it did happen. And that's what I would love to see mankind do. Perhaps that's what all this is for, folks. And hey, look on the bright side. I mean, we don't really have to prove that the world's run by criminals anymore because the government is doing fine in displaying that fact for the public all on their own. We don't have to claim that there are conspiracies anymore because the government is doing fine on their own, showing the world that these conspiracies are real. We don't even have to expose the global pedophile ring because they've just done so through this arrest of Epstein and the subsequent murder of Epstein in a maximum security jail. And even by presenting the concept that it was suicide, they've well exposed themselves and even most of the world media as being completely compromised as well, because nobody is buying into this story. So, you know, you look at the bright side, folks. A lot of the stuff is really coming to light now. The wheels are falling off the system in a big way. And as long as, like I said, we don't become complacent in the face of all this and think that our job's already done and just keep the pressure up and keep some focus on this and keep talking about this stuff, we can make a difference because we're now in a position to do so. We don't have to expose them at all because they're doing fine on their own. You know, everything that we've been saying for years has now been proven by the criminals themselves. And that's a huge benefit to everybody. You know, we can kind of sit back and watch the theatre in some ways, but again, you know, we've got to keep the pressure up ourselves and not stop talking about it and just keep the focus up and see what a joke and what a farce this whole political system really is. I mean, they've blown it so much, folks. I can't believe how much they have exposed themselves just in the last 6 months. You know, there's some who may think, well, they're just confident now. They know they can't lose, and so they don't really care if we know. But I don't know. I think that they have maybe overestimated things a little bit and maybe overestimated the level of human apathy. I mean, sure, the human race is pretty apathetic. But in the face of all the stuff that's coming to light, I don't think everybody is going to be prepared to take all this. I think that many people are seeing the world for what it really is, and many people are realizing that there's something very dark going on behind the scenes, and that matters of state now require their attention. And that's all it would take, folks, just for people to put a little bit of attention on this and realize that the only thing that holds the whole thing up, the only way they've even been able to get away with this for this long as they have, is because we've chosen to go along with their rules and we believe that they are actually our rulers when they're not. It's just people that we employ to do pretty much the opposite of what they're doing. And yeah, I think the wheels are falling off, folks. All we have to do is maintain our focus. So yeah, let's just keep it up, folks. But I think we have now reached that time of the day where we have come to the end of the show. I'm going to be speaking at an event here on the Gold Coast this weekend. This is the Paradigm Shift Summit, which is happening at the Mantra on View Street in Surface Paradise here on the Gold Coast. That is this weekend, the 25th and 24th of August. If you're anywhere in the area, I'll look forward to seeing you there if you're coming. After that, and as I've mentioned before, I'm going to be speaking at Anarchadelphia in Philadelphia on the 13th, 14th, and 15th of September. I'll look forward to seeing people in Philadelphia at that event, and after that I'm going to be speaking, doing a workshop at the Avatars of the Earth Gathering, which is being held at Mount Shasta on September 27th. There's also a chance I may be doing something in Denver around about October 13th, but I've still yet to confirm that, but I'll keep you posted on that. And as always, I will also be speaking at Anarchapulco in February next year. That is in Acapulco, Mexico. Next year is going to be the last year that I go traveling for a while, folks. I've got a few gigs booked for next year. One is Anarchapulco. I think there is another in Philadelphia, possibly one in California. There's one in England. But it's going to be the last year that I go traveling for a while, I think. I really do need some time off the road, so if you've ever thought about coming and saying hello, these gigs that are happening over the next couple of months and the gigs early next year may be the last chance you get to do so. Just see how we go on that one. I mean, it's not written in stone, but I'm kind of thinking that way. So that is it for bookings for me anyway. I'm sort of trying not to book too many because I really don't want to travel too much. I'm over the travel. But that's something to look out for anyway, and I'll keep you posted on all of that if there's any updates. Thank you again to the many people who send me so many kind emails. Thank you to the many people who leave so many kind comments on my YouTube clips. And thank you to the Patreon supporters who help me keep this show on the air and keep this message going. I couldn't do this if it wasn't for you people, so thank you very much for that support that you give me. And even though it is a dark world, folks, you know, and some of the stuff that I bring you on the shows here, it's quite dark information sometimes, but you know, no stake in the outcome, folks. This is the way the world is. And, you know, I see all of this as an opportunity for us to fix it. So that's why I bring the information that I do to you on the air, not to upset people, not to put people in fear, none of that sort of stuff, not to cause people to think that the situation is hopeless, because it's not. I see all of it as an opportunity for spiritual growth, and hopefully that's what you get from the show as well. But that is it for me now, folks. I'll look forward to seeing those people who can come to the gig in Surface Paradise tomorrow, and I'll look forward to speaking to you all again next week. And next week I will be, yes, bringing you a show about history, the much-awaited show that I've been promising you for so long. I will actually get that done for next week, so I'll look forward to speaking to you then. Please take very good care until that time. In Lakesh.